The coronavirus is changing life for millions of people across the world, and churches are no exception. Barna Group recently conducted a study of how COVID-19 has been affecting churches across the U.S., and some of the results are pretty surprising. Today, I interview Barna Group President David Kinneman, who shares some valuable insight for churches and Christians who are dealing with the coronavirus today. Near the end of our conversation, he also explains why many Christians feel like this pandemic is a snapshot of what it might look like when Jesus comes back. So stay tuned, because you're going to love this episode.
In his new book, Saving Christianity, Dr. Michael Youssef reminds us we cannot reinvent Christianity to fit our society. Learn about the dangers of undermining our faith, how to distinguish biblical truth, and have a renewed confidence in the future of the church. Go to www.thesavingchristianitybook.com. Again, thesavingchristianitybook.com.
Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host today, Jenny Rose Spaudo, and I have a very special guest with me today. It's David Kinneman. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. David,
you are.
Perfect. Wonderful. David is the head of Barna Group, and he actually recently did a survey with Barna just about pastors and churches, how they're dealing, or how I guess they're responding and how the coronavirus is affecting them. Is that right, David?
That's correct. Yeah, we wanted to understand how pastors and their congregations are dealing with coronavirus so far, 2.5-3 weeks into the shelter in place and the sort of the onset of a lot of the implications for the U.S. church.
Which is just so important right now, because this is changing life. This virus is changing life, not just for businesses, but really for the church. And so I'm really grateful that you guys have put this survey together and just really made it clear this is what's going on. So I'm kind of excited to dive into this. Can you start us off just by kind of explaining an overview of what you guys found, and maybe just some of the major highlights that stood out to you?
I'd be happy to. I think the first thing is that personally, and the lives of pastors, most of them are doing okay. We find that they are rating their own personal well-being, the well-being of their families, and the well-being of their congregants as good. But we saw that week over week, from the first to the second week of the crisis, fewer pastors are rating their well-being as very good. And so we see sort of the effects of the crisis starting to take its toll on the mental and mental and physical well-being of leaders. So that's one of the first sets of findings, is just the crisis is really starting to hit, and starting to hit people's sort of consciousness. Another aspect that shows that is, at the first week when we started doing the poll, most pastors thought they would be back in worship either in March or early April, and they didn't have very many plans for a digital Easter. And then in the second week, we found that the vast majority of churches had shifted. They were starting to talk about sort of an indefinite, you know, reality of not working from their church, of not worshiping together, of planning now for a digital Easter. And so that was another major finding. And I think that leads to the third finding, which is that churches are really working hard at adapting to the reality of what's happening. We see that small groups are starting to transfer over to social media from in-person meetings. Denominations are starting to show up for pastors in ways they didn't in the first week. There's a sense of like innovating on technology. And most importantly, I think what's cool is pastors are saying that they're actually doubling down. They're getting more and more committed to giving people a message of faith and hope during these challenging circumstances.
Wow, that's really awesome. And one thing that really stood out to me that you said was that pastors weren't really expecting this to go on for very long, you know, like maybe a couple of weeks of live streaming, but that's it. So now that there's this indefinite reality, do you think this is going to kind of change permanently the kind of church culture of America?
I think it's too early to say how will be changed, but certainly there will be changes. I mean, there'll be some churches that don't make it financially. through the crisis. I mean, as small organizations, small to mid-sized to sometimes very large organizations, I think there'll be some churches that just don't make it organizationally through. So that will certainly be one change. I think churches that don't innovate around technology, not just to live stream their services, but to think about how they can be relationally connected, are going to suffer. I do think that it's going to, you know, affect the way people think about coming to church in the long run. I mean, obviously, I think there'll be a great relief when we're finally back together again and able to raise our hands and sing out with, you know, loud voices together. And I'm certainly personally looking forward to that. I think I'll appreciate it more than ever. But I also think people will begin to realize that there's something really cool about the benefits of, being able to listen to a sermon, pause it, go to the bathroom, sort of have your kids around, talk about it rather than it feeling like, you know, sort of like you have to sit quietly in a pew. I think there's going to be a lot of implications depending on how long this goes. And remember that part of the reason for that, these changes, the church is one of the sort of slowest institutions to change. And I think that this crisis isn't just going to change how we think about worship, but there are already a lot of things that were swirling in our environment that were ready to be changed, that the church has to grapple with. I call this context, this new arena that we're living in for the last three to five years, I've been calling it Digital Babylon, and that the church had to be better prepared to minister in Digital Babylon. I've come to say that we do dial-up ministry in a Wi-Fi world. Like, we prepare so hard for that hour and a half. And that's sort of like, yep. That's like 1 hour a week, but then 167 hours a week, like ministry should still be happening. And that's not just hosting a Facebook page or having a live stream. Like, it's so much more about the integration of the church's ministry into the lives of people. So I actually think the church was waiting to be changed, but sort of reluctant to be changed. And I'm hopeful actually that a lot of the good things that come out of this are things that will be lasting change about the church doing real ministry, holistic ministry in all of life, not just when I say Wi-Fi, you know, doing dial-up ministry in a Wi-Fi world. I'm just being like, well, the more technologically driven ministry, but doing ministry in all of life in a more holistic way. So I think that the church will be changed, and I'm praying it will be changed in a very proactive, biblical, gospel-centered, you know, sort of spirit-empowered, Jesus-ready, sort of Bible-loving, you know, way. And I think that's going to happen.
That's awesome. And I want to dive deeper into that. But before we do, I have to commend you because you have not broken down laughing once during this whole interview. Those of you listening, you can't see it, but we're on Skype, David and I am wearing these cat ear headphones. They look ridiculous. But they're the only headphones in my house that are working right now. And because of the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of us are home right now. So David, I just congratulate you. Way to go for not laughing. I'm very proud of you. That's wonderful.
Well, you didn't. No, the listeners wouldn't have heard right before the interview started, before you pushed record, when you said, hey, this is the best I'm going to have. And I did break out laughing. So, you know, anyway, it's nice of you to say, but it's, I got my laughter in already.
Okay, well, that's good, because I'm just looking at myself in the corner of the Skype thing, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I look so silly. So anyway,
I'm trying not to focus on it when I'm giving you these serious answers.
I know, we're talking about the state of the church today and the future, and anyway, okay, back to serious mode. We're doing great. I do want to talk more about just kind of where the church is going, especially financially, because one of the things that you talked about, or the survey discovered, was that giving is actually down. And I want to ask, how significantly do you think this is impacting giving in the church?
Well, so far the numbers show pretty significant impact. We don't know sort of a dollar figure or a percent figure yet. We're going to be diving into that more deeply. But 47% of churches in America say they're down significantly in their week-over-week giving. 79%, so 4 out of 5, say they're down at all. And that compares to a majority of churches, 54%, who said their attendance was higher, that their numbers of online viewers was higher than those that would have come, you know, weekly in person. So the church is being relied upon in a lot of ways as a source of strength and hope. And that's a good sign, right? That we're innovating and adapting. And I mean, what an incredible, I think sort of like the big picture of this whole crisis is like, had this happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you know, it would have been so much harder to do because technology has come along so much in the last 10, 15 years. And that's a great blessing for, you know, for humanity to be able to go through the crisis in this way. Although I also think that part of the nature of the crisis is such that because, again, I think the shelter in place decisions are all the right ones, but the worry and the concern and the instant nature of information also makes our anxiety levels much higher. So it's like we're better prepared as humanity to face this, but we're also dealing with, you know, an increasing level of anxiety about it. I mean, it almost feels like the Hunger Games, you know, sort of literature. It feels almost dystopian in its nature. And I say that because I think that this we've been doing a lot of research with the younger generations around the world, and they actually have these incredibly high levels of anxiety about the world, you know, not knowing the pressures that they're facing. And here it's sort of like the biggest concerns of this generation of corruption and pollution and you know, global health are coming true. And we ought to really pay attention to that. Now that all comes back to this question of your, you know, sort of talking at length here about like your question about how the church is doing financially. And, you know, churches are being relied upon at a great moment, and technology is powering us to do ministry in ways that we couldn't have expected. But it also is true that technology sort of, people think about things being free. Music piracy happened, you know, like so much of expectation, whether it's through Google or through, you know, through the internet, through digital technology, it's a great leveling force. So people expect things to be, you know, like no cost, it doesn't cost anybody to do this stuff. And I think the church is going to face that kind of pressure in the coming weeks and months, is that no, it actually turns out you have to have people paid, you have to have infrastructure, you have to have technology, you have to have subscriptions, you have to, like, maybe we do ministry, maybe there's still ways that ministries can cut down on their costs, but those are real lives and real employees and real people, and they're giving great services into their communities. So I think we're just at the front edge of the financial impact on donors and on nonprofits and on churches. And so that should give us a lot of pause. And for all of us who are members of the church, we should be extra generous in the coming weeks to try to help people, the churches that serve us so well, to help them get through this crazy time as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, it kind of is interesting to me how many churches actually don't have an online giving option. Most, even nowadays, you would think almost all churches would, but it's kind of interesting to me to see a lot of churches really, the only way that you can tithe is by being physically at the church. And so I can't help but wonder if that really plays an impact or plays a role in that effect financially.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have a clear read as to the number of churches that do or don't do online giving before the crisis, but we are seeing a lot of the data show that churches are doing text to give. They're implementing more online giving solutions. If they've already got them, they're using them more. If they don't have them, they're jumping on those platforms. They're using, as I said, sort of text to give options. And I think this crisis is really forcing churches to, you know, sort of move into the digital age when it comes to sort of the financial generosity of their people.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I wanted to ask you about was about this sense of connection with the church, because that's a big, huge part of being part of the body of Christ. And a lot of people go to church mainly for that sense of connection, it seems. So what are you finding? Did you find anything in the survey about that idea of connection, churches that are kind of succeeding in continuing and fostering that sense of connection?
Well, I'm so proud of the church leaders that I know and the church leaders that we've interviewed and their innovation around trying to be connected. I mean, I've heard stories of pastors, you know, for the first time in a long time, making phone calls to people in their church, you know, not just sort of the one-off, two-off calls of people that may be hospitalized or going through a crisis, but like just literally calling through their church directory. And I think that's, there's something really humbling in a good way about a crisis like this that forces us to say, okay, how do we really stay connected? And so I'm proud of hearing those kinds of stories for sure. I think, you can see in the data and in our society today, the sort of growing pent up demand to be together, to shake hands and hug and be parts of communities again. And, you know, it's like, it's going to be an interesting thing depending on how long this lasts. Like thinking about this generation, especially because of impressionable, you know, teenagers and young adults and children, you know, like someone called it Generation C, you know, generation coronavirus, generation of connection. And so they'll be impacted. Younger people will be impacted by this even more because they will, we were already seeing from a month ago before all this hit that young people, millennials, were much more likely to use digital church already and not to feel in any way that that was a lesser experience of church, even though they also often go to church. So I think I think this is, as I sort of said earlier, going to really round out the relational ways that churches show up, but it's going to require of us not just having great technology and hey, you know, click on to the stream service or click onto our Facebook page, but a real intentionality about how to use technology to create the kind of deep relationships that matter. And what we found in our research through the last number of years is that the most important way we could measure those kinds of meaningful relationships is that people say they actually want to be like other Christians and they want to hang around them. And so, you know, are our relational solutions during this crisis deepening people's love of other believers, their desire to be like them? Are we demonstrating generosity and selflessness and care and prayerful lives of service? I mean, I think this is a great opportunity for the church to make a deep difference in the spiritual trajectory of this nation, that people are hungry for answers and not for simple answers about politics or about you know, even finances, but they're hungry for real answers about life in Christ. And so I think this is a great opportunity for the church to show that our relationships undergird that ultimate relationship that we have with God through Christ.
Very good insights. I appreciate that. Now, the last thing that really stood out to me was that small percentage of churches that say their churches are staying open for normal use. I think it was like 5% of them are staying open for normal use and then 17 for like small gatherings. But, you know, I have to imagine that that 5% is probably mostly small churches who feel like, well, we're just a small church, it doesn't matter. But I mean, we're hearing in the news, there are some big churches that are refusing to close. I know there's one in Louisiana. Another pastor in Florida was actually just arrested on Monday for not closing his church services. He's actually someone our Charisma readers really respect. So I'm kind of just wondering, why do you think it is that some of these churches, including big ones, are refusing to close down?
I don't know that our research gives us any indication of that. I mean, human nature is such that, you know, in any distribution, I'll give you a nerdy answer, which is in any distribution, you're going to find an outlier. Right. And so, you know, you hardly ever have 100% of people doing the same thing, even in a major crisis like this. I actually think it's pretty remarkable that churches, and it's a great testament, I think, to, you know, the flexibility of the church in a time of crisis to think about its high calling. I mean, if you'd told me, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago that the government would just say, hey, churches, you know, just close down and don't meet, I would think you'd have, you know, riots on your hands and people would have had a lot of civil disobedience. And I think, again, I think there's just a lot of, I appreciate the fact that the church by and large has sort of said, we're going to side with our civic leaders and what science is telling us and the medical professionals are telling us, that by staying home, by being more cautious in our interactions, we're going to save lives and we're going to flatten the curve, as the saying goes. And you know, again, I also understand, having grown up in a charismatic home and you know, sort of understanding in a pastor's home of a charismatic church, and I also understand I think this global pandemic is reminding us of the kind of biblical stories that we see and hear, that God is at work in our world, that crisis, God doesn't bring the crisis, but he uses crisis to force the church and societies and countries and nations into new patterns of belief or unbelief. You know, we see in the book of Revelation, like, you know, the great unfolding of human events. And you know, it's like, I'm crazy enough to believe that one day, you know, Jesus will truly come out of a cloud, you know, in physical person, and that, you know, we're all eagerly anticipating his second coming, and that events like this actually remind us of how we aren't just in charge of our own future as human beings. Like the Tower of Babel is a real story that people said, you know what, great, we're just going to use all of our science and our technology and we will be as gods. And God has a special way of reminding us through the limitations of our times, even today, as incredible as technology, as incredible as medical science, as incredible as, you know, sort of the systems of man have become, there's this great opportunity for us to be humbled. And that then, I think, gets us to the place of where do we as the people of God respond? And again, I am 100% in the column. We should follow our civic leaders and the medical professionals and say we should follow these shelter-in-place, you know, restrictions at this point. And I also really understand those Christians who say, you know, we want to live for God. We don't want the church to have to live under the, you know, the conditions that government sets for us, and that we have to be careful. I think there will be in the days and months and years to come a lot of challenges with because of this result that you know, sort of privacy and religious liberty, and we have to be cautious about that. That the government doesn't tell the church how to operate. Now, again, I am 100% in favor of following the shelter-in-place restrictions, but I understand the sense of the Christians live by a different ethic, and we don't tempt fate. We don't try to say, no, well, sort of, it's okay, we're not going to listen to you all, and we're going to continue to gather. But I understand the impulse as to why that sort of great faith in the Lord's provision for us happens. So those are just my reactions to that. You know, I think more than ever, the church should lead today and be the first to respond with care and concern for the most disadvantaged and the elderly. And as the stories are now coming, it's not just the elderly who are suffering. This is a killer. This disease is such that we're going to lose people that we know in all probability. And the more we can do to be safe and to be prayerful and to act, and this is where I love my charismatic brothers and sisters and spirit-empowered brothers and sisters, because we believe that, like in Daniel 9, we see Daniel praying, and an angel himself comes and says that he was prevented from coming and responding to Daniel's prayers because there was this sort of battle that was happening in the heavenlies. And I would just encourage, you know, your listeners to remember that this moment, that there is this great epic battle that's happening in the spiritual dimension, and that our task is to be people of prayer and to call out to God on behalf of this emerging generation, and that we should to take this moment to think about who will lead the church into the future, this emerging generation of millennials and Gen Z, and how we can respond with faith and not fear, and prayer, and not sort of you know, protectiveness, you know, about our own lives, but about how it is that God's purposes can be done in this time. So those are a few thoughts. That's a long-winded answer. Very serious, very much more serious than your headphones would allow me to be. But anyway,
I know, I'm so sorry. You're having these really deep thoughts, and I'm just like, these headphones, man. These headphones. But honestly, I think you had some really, really wise insight into what's going on in the church, how Christians, the church pastors are responding. And I want to thank you for sharing that today. Honestly, what you just shared was so good. I couldn't think of a better way to end this podcast anyway. So it was kind of perfect timing. But before we go, is there anything you really think our readers or our listeners should hear?
Well, if you're not a follower of the things that we're working on, you've never heard of Barna, or you have heard of Barna, but you don't get our our updates. I'd encourage you to go to barna.com, sign up for our email newsletter. It's free for Christians to sign up and understand what's happening. We've also got a really great tool called the Church Pulse Weekly that pastors can use. They can add their voice to the research, and for the first time ever, they can really help us hear from them, and they can hear from each other. And so churchpulseweekly.com is the place to go for that. Pastors can also hear from their people about how they're doing. We with all the isolation and social distancing, we can't see how people are doing. And so we encourage you to go to Church Pulse Weekly and take these, this sort of, it's like a congregation check-in to see how well your people are doing, because we need information. So I'd encourage you to check that out, barna.com or churchpulseweekly.com. Those are ways that you can use these tools. They're all free. We really want to help be your navigators through this uncharted territory.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, David. Thank you for sharing and for coming on the show today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Wonderful. And listeners, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.